You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
And Matt said, your pastor don't know crap about the Bible. Let's get married.
Well, you know what? He was right. Because I remember that happened to me. I got born again. I went home to my girlfriend, and I said, we can't do this anymore. And that was it.
Well, they got married, and their daughter eventually came on a trip to Nicaragua with us, and that's how I became friends, and that's how I know these guys.
Now, how did that story end up? Did they stay together as a couple?
Yeah. I've seen Robin in the last few months. So
they got married?
Oh, yeah, they've married, had children, doing very well. Nice people, really sweet people.
Well, that's nice to know. But, you know, it's the same thing that happened to me. A radical conversion, you just suddenly know because the spirit of truth is in you and says, outside of commitment here, before the Lord and a vow, that's out of the, no, you're not supposed to do that.
So there's the theonomic view of we must obey the laws as best we can. There's the cultural.
Theonomic.
There's the cultural view that says they're all for their time, and the time has passed, things have changed, and so they're out of date, and we no longer need to pay attention to them. But then there's a third approach to the Hebrew Scriptures, which we call the principle approach. And this says that behind each cultural practice is a spiritual principle that is relevant to our lives as members of the kingdom. Now, let me give you an example of that. Now, a very obscure passage of the Old Testament that probably most of us have maybe never read, it's Leviticus chapter 1. And here are the way the book opens. And the Lord called Moses to spoke to him from the tent of meeting. Speak to the Israelites and tell them, when someone among you presents an offering to the Lord, you must present an offering from the domestic animals, either from the herd or the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering, he must present it as a flawless male and present it at the entrance of the tent of meeting for its acceptance before the Lord. Okay? So here are the first three books, first three verses of the book of Leviticus. And from this, we can draw three principles that affect our life here in Vero Beach today. Verse 1, the Lord called out to Moses and spoke to him. Okay? This tells me that God will often take initiative in his communication and conversation with me, which is super helpful when I'm feeling very isolated and alone and I'm starting to get depressed and I'm wondering where God is. I know God will initiate and speak to me when he's ready. This verse 2 says, tell the Israelites to bring an offering to me. Now, this is part of God's economy. God gives us everything, and he wants us to give something back to him as a acknowledgement of where it all comes from. This is a principle that really works for me today. The third verse says, bring a flawless male, bring your best offering. So when I bring something to God or do something, I should bring him my best or do my best. And I remember years ago when I was living on Maui, my friend Nick and I decided that we were going to paint the bedroom of his roommate, Dan, who was suffering from cancer at the time. So we went to the Ace Hardware store in Kihei, and we bought some paint, and we looked, and at the time, the economical paint was $7 a gallon, but the good paint was $11. And we weren't wealthy. I mean, we were just working day jobs, right? So Nick and I kind of looked at each other, which one should we get? We started digging in our pockets, you know, and Nick said, well, the Lord says, bring him his best. So we bought the $11 a gallon paint. And so right here in the first three verses of Leviticus are three principles that work for you and I in our life in the 21st century here in the United States of America.
Now, can I add a little story there? Is
sure,
that right?
Of course.
Yes. Well, you know, there was this pastor, and he had this guy painting the white church out in the country. And a beautiful paint. And he says, by the way, we have some guests coming in from out of town. They'll be here this weekend. So see the cottage behind the church? That's where the guests are going to stay, the guest cottage. So I need you to paint that as well. And the guy goes, So later on, he's painting. He's running low on paint. So he says, I know what I'll do. I'll add some water and extend the paint. And that way, you know, I'll finish up the church and I can finish up the cottage. Well, he's just about to get done with that, and all of a sudden this big thunderstorm comes. And the rain and the water comes down, and the paint starts to wash off because he had watered down the paint. And the voice from heaven says, "Repaint and thin no more."
Repaint and thin no more.
Repaint and thin no more.
No, that's good.
All right.
So when we look at the Hebrew Scriptures, we have a choice of trying to obey all of these cultural practices, we have a choice to ignore them, or we have a choice to sort of look behind them and see what the principle is. Now, as you read especially the Torah, God is giving a lot of laws and commandments to the people that are coming out of Egypt and coming into Cana. And one of the great themes is, look, I'm bringing you from this land, I'm taking you into Cana, don't imitate their practices, their behavior, imitate mine, be holy because I am holy, all right? And so in Leviticus 22, we have these three verses. You shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed or the produce of the seed which you've sown and increase the vineyard, or it will become defiled. Verse 10, you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Verse 11, you shall not wear a material mixed of wool and linen together. Seems like these are random commandments that have no meaning, but in the context of don't mix my culture with their culture, as God is saying throughout the Torah, then these now become object lessons. And right now I'm wearing a shirt that is got cotton in it, and I think it might have a little bit of polyester. And so I'm kind of violating the letters here, but I'm doing my best, Rhett, not to mix God's culture with the culture around me. I'm trying to walk it out in his culture.
So, well, I wonder where do we draw the line, because in this town, I've made friends with some Mennonites, and they're far more strict. The Amish actually came out of the Mennonites. And so, ironically, the Amish now are more severe and legalistic, whereas the Mennonites invited us to their church. The women sit on one side, the men sit on the other side. They're all dressed in black and white. Mm-hmm. The women all have their hair covered.
Yeah.
And it's quite wonderful in that they're very nice, but where do we draw the line on what is legalistic and what is not? Now, I understand that because I have a new friend, and I mean, not a new friend. He's been with us for years, but he's newly had a breakdown in his life, surrendered to God, and actually had a visitation where God said, humble yourself and know that I am God. And this young man in his early 20s never really knew the word humble. And now he's going around saying, I had gotten arrogant, but now the Lord has humbled me, and he's a new creation. But I keep telling him, he's got some friends that like to go out and drink. And I'm trying to say, right now, you're very fragile. I think you need to separate yourself from these other people because they'll bring you into their world. He lives in New York City as opposed to the kingdom of God. What say you, Mike Bagby?
Well, I say that the Bible says very clearly that drunkenness is something to be avoided. And that if you're
but not just that, also fornication, kids like that.
Well, obviously God's his design for mankind is a family unit within a committed relationship called marriage, where a husband and wife experience intimacy together. And that's what sex is really for, is for not only to create children, but also the intimacy between a husband and a wife. And this family unit is something that God is very jealous of, very protective of. And so he says many things that we are to do or not do to really protect the family unit. And if you want to see the assault of our culture and our enemy, Satan, against the humanity, it's the assault against the family right now. So yes, these commandments in the Hebrew Scriptures, like Leviticus chapter 18, says, don't have sex with your mother-in-law, don't have sex with your sister-in-law, don't have sex with your cousin, and it goes down the list. Don't have sex, men with men, women with women, and don't have sex with animals because that's really gross. So these are all commandments that are made to take the practices of the culture, and in Canaanite culture and in Roman and Greek culture, sexual fluidity, same-sex relationships were very common. But the Bible says that God thinks that the family unit should be the foundation of society, and he does everything he can for us to protect that. And so I think all these commandments have to be taken in a light of, yes, what does fornication do? You know, fornication causes you to give of your body but not give of yourself. Fornication is sex outside of marriage. It's sex becomes a commodity. You're not. The Bible is very clear that you should not give your body unless you're willing to give your entire self. And something miraculous happens when you give your entire self. And those of us that have been married, I've been married for 37 years. I have to say, after 37 years, my marriage is not boring at all. My wife and I have been able to work through many of our issues, and we are in a place of really enjoying one another in ways that when I was in my 30s, I didn't think it was possible, you know? So God's really trying to protect the family unit here. And that's why we have all of the admonitions to keep yourself pure when it comes to sexual behavior.
Yeah, I really don't want to go down this road deeply, but I do know that yesterday I read online that the Canadians now made it illegal. It's called hate speech if you quote the Bible. It's against the law to quote the Bible, like you just said, where it says a man shall not lay with a man, a woman shall not lay with a woman. It's not that Christians don't love these people. We're called to love all people, but we're also not going to call something that is sin not sin. We're not condemning anybody. You can do what you want to do. You can sin all you want. You can rob banks too, and you can steal and kill and destroy. But if you're following the Lord, you know. So I don't know what's going to happen. This one of these days, though, soon we need to delve into this politicalness that in Canada they made it illegal to quote the Bible. This is
horrible. I just think it's a sign of our time right now. The assault on the Bible. Voltaire said, if you're going to destroy Christianity, you have to first destroy the veracity and the regard for the Bible. He said that, and he went on to say that in future generations...
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, eternity's holy King. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, whose word brings on the evening. But of gates open up, with understanding you order the seasons, creating day and night, turning darkness into light, arranging the stars to your pleasing. But a Lord of hosts is your name, all ever living.